politically incorrect, unpopular and old-fashioned things go, the subject of repentance would have to be right up there near the top of the list. Repentance? What the blazes does that mean? Who even talks that way anymore these days? Give me a break. Hi, I'm Bernie Diamond and thank you so much for joining me again on Christianity Works. Today we're going to take a look at a couple of things that, well, unless we do them, our walk with Jesus is going to be a sham. Is that too direct? Too much to the point? I don't think so. And please do stay tuned because in just a few minutes I'll be telling you about the powerful prayer that could be coming your way to help you through whatever you happen to be dealing with in your life just at the moment. When I come across a subject like repentance, and I'll explain what I think that word means in a moment, I tend to think about how I viewed religious jargon before I became a Christian. I remember some nutter standing on a milk crate in the local mall, waving a Bible in one hand and shouting, "Repent, repent," and thinking to myself, "Yeah, right, now there's a message the world wants to hear, idiot." I was driving a pretty expensive car back in those days, living in a luxury house, pursuing a business career, and life was, on the surface at least, pretty darn good. So who needs repentance? Ever felt yourself thinking along those lines? The problem is that left to our own devices, we have a tendency of making a hash out of our own lives. Now, the average born-again atheist would take issue with that. The average born-again atheist out there is thinking to themselves, here they go again, these religious nutters, telling us that we're no good, telling us that we can't make it on our own. And to be completely honest with you, that's how I used to think. I thought of myself as smart and successful, and I was driven to work hard and to achieve. So the message of repent, which I guess most people associate with turning away from sin, boy, there's another incredibly unpopular concept these days, sin. That message was not something that I was ready to hear. How about you? We're smack bang in the middle of a series of messages at the moment that's called Overboard with Jesus. It's kind of based around that pretty well-known story of Peter getting out of the boat on the Sea of Tiberias in the middle of the storm, Matthew chapter 14, verses 22 to 33. Immediately, Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead to the other side while he dismissed the crowds. And after he dismissed the crowds, he went up to the mountain by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone, but by this time the boat, battered by waves, was far from the land, for the wind was against them. And early in the morning, he came walking toward them on the sea. But when the disciples saw him on the sea, they were terrified, saying, "It's a ghost!" And they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them and said, "Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid." Peter answered him, "Lord, if it's you, command me to come out to you on the water." He said, "Come." So Peter got out of the boat and started walking on the water and came towards Jesus. But when he noticed the strong wind, he became frightened and beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." Jesus immediately reached out his hand and caught him, saying to him, "You of little faith, why did you doubt?" When they got into the boat, the wind ceased and those in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." It's a pretty remarkable story, and I love Peter's heart. So intent was he on following Jesus that he was prepared to follow him out of the boat, onto the water, in the middle of a deadly, raging storm. And with all my heart, I believe that that's the sort of follower that Jesus is looking for today. Not a lukewarm, mamby-pamby, pew-warming, middle-of-the-road, my-life-doesn't-count-for-much type of Christian, but someone who's prepared to get out of the boat in the storm, even though they may sink, to follow Jesus wherever he may lead. Someone who's prepared to be all in, full on for Jesus. And this week and next week on the program, I want to chat about a few practical, real ways that we can do that. Be all in, be full on for Jesus. The first way is in this area of repentance. See, Jesus had a way, he still does, in fact, of cutting through all the nonsense and self-delusion and getting right to the heart of an issue. In his famous Sermon on the Mount, he said this, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven," Matthew chapter 5, verse 3. In other words, blessed are those who recognize their spiritual poverty. blessed are those who stop deluding themselves and thinking that life is all good, that they're successful and comfortable and they don't need anything else. You see, that's what pride does. It stops us from recognizing what's really going on in our lives. It stops us from admitting to ourselves, let alone to others, the spiritual poverty that lies deep within. The spiritual poverty that leads us off in the wrong direction until the emptiness of life, the burdens of life, the consequences of a life chasing after the mirage, the illusion of comfort and success and material things, so deeply afflicts us that words can't describe what it is we feel. I see it all the time. Can I say, I see it in people who don't have any faith at all, and tragically, I see it in people who profess a faith in Jesus, who warm the pews of a church each Sunday, who sing the songs, pray the prayers, and go through the motions. Listen to me. Whether religious or not, whether professing a faith in Jesus or not, we can be beset and afflicted by a deep spiritual poverty that we just won't admit to ourselves because we've invested so much time and energy chasing the things we've been chasing after, getting to this desperate place in life, that we're just too proud to admit that we got it wrong. And that has consequences. So how do you turn that around? Well, interestingly, that's exactly what the word repentance means. To turn things around, to admit that you got it wrong. But there's an important element that's required to take that measure. Have a listen to this, 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verses 13 and 14. When I shut up the heavens so that there is no rain, or command the locusts to devour the land, or send pestilence among the people, if my people who are called by my name humble themselves, pray, seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear them from heaven, and will forgive their sin and heal their land. See, that element that's required is humility. It's being prepared to get real with ourselves and go back to God and admit to Him and ourselves that our ways, our rebellion, our stupidity, well, because frankly that's what it is, simply haven't worked. And God's promise to us, and you read it over and over again in the Bible, is that when we turn around away from our wicked ways, when we seek His face, He'll listen, He'll forgive, He'll heal, and He'll bless. Plain and simple. 1 John chapter 1, verse 19. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, He who is faithful and just will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You see, the alternative to that is the status quo. And over 20 years ago now, I came to the realization that the status quo simply wasn't an option. How about you? How's your life going? Are you perhaps one of those people who kind of believes in Jesus, but, well, somehow it's not going so well for you? Then there's every chance that the reason for that is that you're holding something back from God. Some sin, some rebellion, something in your life that you haven't given over to Him. Remember, blessed are the poor in spirit, the ones who admit their sin and their poverty to God, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. It's time to get overboard with Jesus in the storm, just like Peter did. It's time to stop pussyfooting around with our faith and get real and live a life that's all out for Jesus. And that starts with being honest, with admitting, with turning away from that sin that's been plundering our lives and turning back to Jesus. Acts chapter 3, verses 19 and 20. Repent, therefore, and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out, so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. So, how about it? I'm Bernie Diamond, and you're listening to Christianity Works. Just as we take this short break, I'd like to remind you that if you have a prayer need, we would absolutely love to pray for you. Because the only sort of prayer that the Bible teaches about is the sort that has powerful results. Just let that sink in. The only sort of prayer the Bible teaches about is the sort that has powerful results. So if you'd like us to pray with you, in fact, if you'd like our whole prayer community to pray with you, stop by online at powerfulprayer.org to share your prayer request. It's completely confidential. Your name won't be displayed. And in fact, while you're there, perhaps you could also pray for one or two others and leave them a word or two of encouragement. You can be such a mighty blessing to so many others by supporting them in this way. The Bible says that the prayer of the righteous is powerful and effective. So please, let us pray for you and with you, and let's just see what God does, how He intervenes, how He chooses to bless you. That web address again is powerfulprayer.org. All right, let's head back into God's Word to see what else He has for us today. To be honest, forgiveness never used to be a thing for me. Why forgive? My motto in life used to be, don't get angry, get even. If you did something to hurt me or betrayed me or you undermined me or you ignored me, I would find a way of getting even. Vengeance is sweet, they say, although from experience I can tell you it does leave a bitter aftertaste in your mouth. It wasn't until age 36 that forgiveness became a thing for me. This is how it happened. Jesus met me in a dark time in my life. My Saviour came for me and reached down into the dark pit where I was and lifted me out. Those aren't just words. That's what happened. And today I look back and I still find myself asking, why me? I'm speechless at the idea that Jesus came for me. There were so many people who were nicer than me. I was a shocker, I have to tell you. I was tough, hard-nosed, brutal in my pursuit of success. And then one day, I read this story that Jesus told. Matthew chapter 21, verses 18 to 35. Then Peter came and said to him, Lord, if another member of the church sins against me, how often should I forgive? As many as seven times? And Jesus said to him, not seven times, but I tell you, 77 times. For this reason, the kingdom of heaven can be compared to a king who wanted to settle accounts with his slaves. When he began the reckoning, one who owed him 10,000 talents was brought to him. And as he couldn't pay, his lord ordered him to be sold together with his wife and children and all his possessions and payment to be made. So the slave fell on his knees before him, saying, have patience with me and I'll pay you everything. And out of pity for him, the lord of that slave released him and forgave him the debt. But that same slave, as he went out, came across one of his fellow slaves who owed him 100 denarii, and seizing him by the throat, he said, pay what you owe. Then his fellow slave fell down and pleaded with him, have patience with me and I'll pay you. But he refused. Then he went and threw him into prison until he could pay the debt. Now, when his fellow slaves saw what had happened, they were greatly distressed, and they went and reported to their lord all that had taken place. Then the lord summoned him and said to him, you wicked slave, I forgave you all that debt because you pleaded with me. Should you not have had mercy on your fellow slave as I had mercy on you? And in anger, his lord handed him over to be tortured until he would pay his entire debt. So my heavenly Father will also do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother or sister from your heart. The end of that story is just a bit brutal, isn't it? I mean, really, is forgiveness that big a deal? Well, apparently it is to God. I was perplexed by this story, this parable that Jesus used to teach Peter and the other disciples about forgiveness. So it got me thinking. God makes us, humanity, kicking it off with Adam and Eve. He gives us a free will, full knowing that we were going to rebel, full knowing that we would fall short of his perfect standard, full knowing that one day the demands of justice, God's justice, after all, we'd expect God to be just, right, would have to be met. I mean, if I break the law and end up in front of a judge, as I did once as a young man by crashing my car, you'd expect the judge to be just. He gave me a sentence, rather a light sentence as it turned out at the time, a fine or, if I didn't pay the fine, a couple of nights at Her Majesty's pleasure in a prison. That's what you'd expect. But imagine if that judge had been my father, my dad who brought me into this world and loves me beyond measure. Now, in that instance, the judge would have had a fundamental conflict of interests. On the one hand, he's the judge, and by the very nature of his role, his job is to mete out justice. On the other hand, he's my dad, and he loves me, and he doesn't want to have to do that. Well, that's precisely the dilemma that God finds himself in. Only for him, it's much, much worse, because as we read in Romans chapter 6, verse 23, the wages of our sin is death. You and I, through our sin, our rebellion against God, are under a sentence of death. Make no mistake about it. An eternal existence of judgment and suffering. John chapter 5, verses 28 and 29. Do not be astonished at this, for the hour is coming when all who are in their graves will hear his voice and will come out, those who have done good to the resurrection life and those who have done evil to the resurrection of condemnation. There it is, a resurrection of eternal condemnation. That's what's at stake here. So God sends Jesus, his one and only Son, the one through whom the whole of creation was created. He sends that Jesus to suffer and die for you and me. Do you get it? This is why forgiveness is such a big deal for God. This is why Jesus told this powerful parable about forgiveness. Matthew chapter 27, beginning at verse 45. From noon on, darkness came over the whole land until 3 p.m. At about 3:00, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, "Eloi, Eloi, lema sabachthani?" That is, my God, why have you forsaken me? When some of the bystanders heard it, they said, "This man is calling for Elijah." At once, one of them ran out and got a sponge, filled it with sour wine, and put it on a stick, and gave it to him to drink. But the other said, "Wait, let us see whether Elijah will come to save him." Then Jesus cried out again with a loud voice and breathed his last. At that moment, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. The earth shook and the rocks were split. Do you get it? That's what Jesus did for me and for you, so that we could be completely set free from that eternal condemnation. For God so loved the world, so loved you, so loved me, that he gave his only begotten Son, so that when we believe in him, we won't perish under that burden of eternal condemnation, but instead we will have eternal life. So he looks at you and me and he says, "Well, if that's what I did to forgive you, how is it possible that you wouldn't forgive those who've sinned against you?" Well, how is it possible? That's the question that God is asking us today. How is that possible? So let me ask you, whom haven't you forgiven in your life? For whom do you still harbor the darkness of unforgiveness in your heart? This series of messages is called Overboard with Jesus. It's about taking our lives out of the mediocre comfort zone where we've perhaps been living and going all out, living our lives full on for Jesus. There are so many people who want to do that, but they just don't know how. Well, get a revelation today. You simply cannot live your life full on for Jesus if you're carrying unforgiveness around in your heart. You just can't. Well, if you're captive to unforgiveness today, if you're struggling to let go of that darkness, that destructive force of unforgiveness in your heart today, here it is. Jesus came to set you free. Let it go. Put it into his hands. Pray for your enemy. Get out there. Go overboard with Jesus. Trust him and he will show up. He will grab your hand when you start sinking, because that's just what Jesus does. I'm Bernie Diamond, and you're listening to Christianity Works. Hey, life can be hard work some days, and as that daily grind just kind of grinds away at us, it's easy to forget that Jesus died and rose again to give us victory over our sin, over our circumstances. Victory. That's why every video message that we produce here at Christianity Works is available on our YouTube channel. The daily fresh devotional videos, the weekly in-depth half-hour Christianity Works teaching messages, and even some in-the-moment, close-to-the-action videos that I shoot every now and then. They're all available on our YouTube channel at christianityworks.tv. Just subscribe to the channel and you'll be notified each time a new video is posted. It's simply amazing how powerfully the Spirit of God can move through even just a short video message. I guess we shouldn't be surprised. After all, the Word of God is alive and active. Amen? So I'd love to encourage you too to live your life in victory. Again, the web address of our YouTube channel is ChristianityWorks.tv. Now let's head straight back into the Word of God, because honestly, He's always up to something good in our lives. I'm a firm believer that we are, you are, and I am, we're each masters of self-delusion. Why? Because we all have blind spots in our makeup. You know what it's like when you're driving a car. If your rear vision mirror and your two side mirrors aren't perfectly aligned, there are blind spots in your rear vision. Often those blind spots are big enough to conceal a motorcycle or even a car. Change lanes without looking back over your shoulder and you're likely to have an accident. A few years ago, I attended a defensive driving course. Now, I thought that every car had blind spots like that, but it turns out that the mirrors are designed so that if you know how to line them up, and they taught us that on the course, you'll have seamless rear vision from your left, right peripheral vision right round behind you through to your right peripheral vision. It's quite amazing, really. Now, whenever I hop into a car that's not my own, like a hire car, I always line up the mirrors so that there are no blind spots. It's a bit like that in life. We have these blind spots, and the definition of a blind spot is a place where you can't see. I didn't realize, for instance, that my anger was an issue before I became a Christian, but actually it wasn't becoming a Christian that made the difference. It was hearing what God had to say. I began to read my Bible not out of a sense of duty, but because the pastor of the little church that I attended, Pastor Phil, inspired me with God's word. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 15, "The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but a wise man listens to advice." So I went to the source of wisdom, God himself. And as I started reading time and time again, I was convicted that something in my life wasn't quite right. So God would work on that with me. Then it was the next thing and the next thing. Well, would you believe a few decades later, we're still going? The power of God's word to bring me to repentance by showing me the blind spots has been truly miraculous. In fact, it still is. And the power of God's word to help me to learn to forgive is exactly the same. I discovered a while into the process that this is exactly what's meant to happen. John chapter 16, verse 8. "And when the Holy Spirit comes, he will prove the world wrong about sin and righteousness and judgment." That's what the Holy Spirit does as we open our hearts to God's word. He helps us to discern right from wrong. He convicts us, as it were, in such an incredibly powerful way, a way that brings change. So perhaps you're struggling with some sin in your life right now, or some unforgiveness in your heart, and you just can't seem to let go. Well, right now, I want to pray for you, because I believe that the Holy Spirit, the same power that raised Jesus from the dead, is going to fill you today in the most amazing way. Father God, we come to you to confess that we're completely helpless to deal with our sin, with our unforgiveness. Lord, we're even powerless to know much of the time the things inside us, the things going on in our hearts, the things that are manifesting in our lives that are displeasing to you. We have blind spots. So we ask you today, dear Holy Spirit, that you would convict us of sin and righteousness, that you would shine your light into the darkest recesses of our soul, and that you would give us a passion, a real passion for your word, to hear you speak your grace and mercy and power into our lives. Bring repentance, dear God, where there is sin. Bring forgiveness, dear God, where there is unforgiveness. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 And I want to encourage you to become a man or woman of God's word, feeding daily on the word of God, hearing God speak daily his wisdom into your life, receiving daily from his power to change, so that each day you look more and more like Jesus, because that's what he wants to do in your life. And it's the most wondrous thing to experience. works is to see your life powerfully transformed as you draw ever closer to Jesus in a rich, dynamic relationship with Him. So if you'd like to go even deeper, then let me encourage you to stop by and explore ChristianityWorks.com, where you'll find a wealth of messages on all sorts of different subjects straight out of God's Word, and conveniently arranged so that you can find exactly what you need for today. There's so much there for you. Your free subscription to our daily fresh devotional, so you can receive a powerful scripture and some words of inspiration, hope, and encouragement each day by subscribing to Fresh. And remember, we would love to pray for you. Just click on the powerful prayer icon towards the bottom of the homepage. Everything at ChristianityWorks.com is free, including that e-booklet I mentioned earlier. It's only available for a limited time, so don't miss out. With all my heart, I know that Jesus wants to have a powerful impact on your life to help you be all He made you to be. So go on, head across to ChristianityWorks.com and be blessed. I'm Bernie Diamond, and I'll catch you again same time next week with another message of God's love, God's grace, and God's power for each one of us in Jesus Christ.